I will remember to check the box I left unchecked to make sure it's checked and not unchecked. I will remember to check the box I left unchecked to make sure it's checked and not unchecked. I will remember to check the box I left unchecked to make sure it is checked and not unchecked.
Joe?
Yes?
How many times have you written that down?
6,500,732.
Not good enough. Get out the whip!
With pleasure.
Welcome to the Struggle is Real Buffalo Music Podcast. We are joined today with two folks from the Think So Joe podcast, Mr. Joe Kent.
Hi.
And Karina DeFabulous.
Hey.
That's what I'm going to call you from now on. So, this was supposed to be a best of our broadcast from Warped Tour, which was last week, and which is a ton of fun, and which, real quick, I do want to just give one more thanks to Dewey Richbar, Kaiser Solze, Will Webb, my wife Kelly Gurnett for all the work she did, and all the bands who came and hung out. It was, even since it didn't get recorded, it was still the fucking best day of my life, without question. So, Joe, what happened? Where is it?
It's gone, man. I got home the next morning. And I pulled up the laptop because I'm like, I'm going to put this Kevin Lyman interview up on, you know, on YouTube, on the All WNY YouTube. And it's like, where did this save to? This didn't save. This box is not checked to, you know, start recording upon broadcast or whatever. Like, oh, man, like, where the hell? What happened?
Have you ever unchecked the box before? Is there really a reason for that box to be there? Is there a reason you'd want to stream and not record it? Like, what's the point?
No, I don't think there would be a point.
I feel like it's just a box there to fuck with us. And I actually thought that if it went to Scott at All WNY, that it was automatically saving. So the idea of it not recording wasn't even like a thought to me.
And I was sitting there and trying to find out if there was any way. And no, it doesn't save on the server. It doesn't save anywhere. But Scott's outlook was, hey, shit happens.
Exactly.
And he said, now we know we can pull this off.
Mm-hmm.
Next time I'll also record here at the studio, because apparently he has that capability.
That's cool.
So, then he's just like, and you guys sounded great. And I said, it's not bad for Ryan using a Radio Shack karaoke mic.
Yes, I don't think I realized they were karaoke mics until we got there. I'm like, is this a quarter inch jack? Like, what is?
Oh yeah, it was.
Hey, they worked, man. It sounded good. I mean, half of them worked.
Well, one of them worked, and then the other one was my SM58.
So. Yeah, well, definitely a word to the wise is if you're ever broadcasting live, pack about if you need four mics, pack like 8 to 10.
Right.
I think is about the right number.
I came home and plugged them in, and they all worked.
Of course they did.
So yeah, it was a fun day. We ended up, we emceed the corner stage for like 7.5 hours.
Yep.
As Joe mentioned, we got a real brief interview with Kevin Lyman, the creator of Warped Tour.
Mm-hmm. So
which
awesome.
I really wonder if anyone heard that. Like, we kind of jumped in, like we stopped the broadcast, and like half an hour later, we jumped back in with it.
So I tweet out, like, tune into All WNY right now, because there might be something worth listening to. So hopefully somebody tuned in and heard that interview.
Oh, I hope so.
I know people were listening all day, and people were, because I went out to the Long Cold Dark 10th anniversary show at The Rock in Buffalo the other day, and I walked in the door, and Mike Dietzman's working the door, and he says, hey, man, I listened to that Warped Tour broadcast. That sounded great. How was it?
Oh, that's awesome.
That's great. Yeah. No, I haven't actually. I've talked to a couple people who are listening, but I haven't gotten a lot of feedback yet. The Struggle is Real social media is usually quite dormant. So we're getting listens, and that's great, and we love all of you who listen very, very much.
Yeah.
But I don't really know who's listening a lot of the times. Like, I don't even really know demographics as much. You know, you see shares and it's occasional comments, but like, mm-hmm. So that's awesome. You heard something.
Yeah, just kind of anybody that had heard it was like, oh man, it sounded really good. That sucks. You lost it. Like, yeah. You're telling me, you know, and I felt awful. I felt like I let everybody down. You know what I mean? And like, I was fine until a certain individual kind of chewed me out a little bit on social media,
yeah.
But you know, I don't want to name names, but I think he's okay now. So.
Yes. Joe, the broadcast wouldn't have even gone to the internet without you.
Right. This is true.
So, you know, shit happens, and that's, you know...
We still did that.
We
that
did
still
that.
Happened.
It was amazing. All of the local bands were great. We played a ton of fun games with the fans, which I think I might reuse for a future episode, since probably a whole lot of people didn't hear it. That's really cool. And, we're gonna, you know, I'm gonna be having some of the other guys that I met at Warped back on the show at some point. The Cardboard Homestead guys, the On the Cinder guys, the Of Night and Light guys. Like, all of them were incredible. Warp Tour Bingo was a blast. We kind of wrote down some index cards with Warp Tour cliches and then searched for them. That was Karina's idea. Well, that was a ton of fun.
One of my co-hosts on my wrestling podcast called in the show yesterday. He was at Darien Lake, called into the show, said, hey, you know the girl that had the wrong festival t-shirt on your social media?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's my ex-girlfriend.
Whoa.
So, man, it's a small world.
Oh, absolutely. Buffalo is a tiny place. That's always a good thing to know about dealing.
He lives in Syracuse, so.
Even still, like, dealing with anything around the Buffalo music scene, it's just everything's connected with someone. You know, I had an infringement festival meeting yesterday. I ran into someone who was at my wedding, and I hadn't seen since, like, almost literally 10 years ago. So, it all comes back, and it's all,
for
you know,
sure.
Western to Central New York.
Yeah.
All right, so, I want to cut to our first band. So I'm going to talk about my favorite band first from Warped Tour, and that is, I have been dying to see Cardboard Homestead. They're fucking great.
Yeah.
And I was lucky enough, I got to see them at Warped on Wednesday, and then I saw them at Mohawk Place on Friday again, and they were fantastic too. I love Ian's energy. I love the way his voice sounds. It's like, for me, it sounds like Against Me meets Less Than Jake a little bit with the way that voice sounds.
Sure.
And, you know, it's punk, but it's not like overwhelmingly screechingly loud. Like, you can hear the lyrics and everything. You can see Pete's the bass player. That's his name, right?
Peter. Yeah.
Yeah. Peter. He's like, his lines are really intricate for what they're doing. If you actually sit and watch him,
it's not what you would expect from the genre.
Yeah. So it's real cool how they mash everything up. And I think they're great. They were super nice guys when they came to hang out with us too. So the first thing we're going to do is we are going to play No Ambition by Cardboard Homestead here on the Struggle Is Real Buffalo Music Podcast on allwny.com.
I have no ambition over caring the world. I just want to get fucked up and come off of work. But what does it get you? Hangover, no pay. If fuck it, who's kidding? Who needs cash anyway?
And that was No Ambition by Cardboard Homestead here on the Struggle is Real Buffalo Music podcast on allwny.com. So since we don't have our Live Warped segments, one thing that we did do is in between segments, while the bands were playing, we were obviously too close to the stage to do anything, so we had some pre-recorded segments we aired, and we had a lot of fun recording them. So we are going to kind of give you guys a best of those today. So we're going to start that. Joe, this was probably my favorite segment that recorded for this, and that was when we did "You're Doing It Wrong." Did you have fun with that?
I did. I enjoyed that a lot.
That was it's something it'll be probably a regular segment on the podcast. I've got a couple more written at some point. I've been dying to get them out, so I'm super happy we got to do this. And you can take a listen to that and just get your Facebook right. That's all it takes, right, Joe? Just figure that shit out. So because you're doing it wrong. Here at The Struggle is Real, we just want to help. We see bands doing things that are, let's say, incorrect, and we want to help. So after a few years worth of writing reviews for allwny.com and doing research on local bands for our Spotify playlists, not to mention my recent involvement in Infringement Festival, I've been seeing a lot of things, and we're here to say,
you're doing it wrong.
All right.
Ryan, I think you've had a few things to say about how bands approach their Facebook profile.
You know what? Take a deep breath here, okay? I do. Listen, there's absolutely nothing wrong with spending money to boost your posts on Facebook. Just make sure you're boosting the right thing. Have a new song, new video, upcoming show? By all means, boost that post. However, no one cares if your new single is ranked 198th on the Norwegian music charts, and spending money to promote that is near pointless. You're doing it wrong. You're better off getting your music in front of people instead of worrying about growing your reputation.
Oh, that seems reasonable. What else?
When listing band members in your about section, include everyone's instrument and last name. As someone who reviews music, it's hard to write an accurate review when I can't tell who is actually playing each instrument. Please stop it. You're doing it wrong.
Ryan, you're getting angry, and quite frankly, it's making me angry.
Joe, I'm not even done yet. Here's the deal. We make a podcast. A local podcast. You know what's hard? Covering bands when they can't be bothered to include that information on Facebook. You know what's really funny? When your band location is where I am right now, I bet you're the first person in the history of Facebook to be so witty. Guess what? If I don't know you're from Buffalo, I can't promote you as a Buffalo band. One band even listed their hometown as heaven. Heaven? Fuck you. You're doing it wrong.
And another thing, on what planet do you think it's not okay to have a Facebook page? You're being given a free promotional tool that connects you to everyone in your life. I don't care how much of your personal information is sold to anyone, it's a necessary evil. Do you know what I would have given to have Facebook when I was in a band in high school? There was no email, there was no Facebook, we had to make paper from scratch and walk around Buffalo with snow up to here to hang up flyers with fucking tape!
You're doing it wrong! And one last thing, don't send venues, reviewers, or fuck it, anyone who isn't your friend, your personal Facebook page, and try to pass it off as a page for your act. No, I don't want to send you a fucking friend request and have to wait for you to accept it so that I can find out if you're gigging and have any music available. You're doing it wrong! All right, we are back here on the Struggle is Real Buffalo Music Podcast on allwny.com. That was You're Doing It Wrong. And next coming up, Joe, who is your favorite band from Warped Tour?
I greatly enjoyed the Toy Box Brigade. I love a good ska band anyway.
Yeah.
I mean, literally the only time that Corrine and I took off from the booth was to go see the Interrupters. Also to see Kaiser Soze on the Full Sail stage. But we took off to see the Interrupters. We came back, we got to see the Toy Box Brigade, and they, in fact, dedicated a song to me.
Bad Touch by Bloodhound Gang.
Bad Touch by the Bloodhound Gang.
Oh, man.
The oddest thing is the night after, I was at Nietzsche's, and I saw a female folk singer who also covered Bad Touch.
Oh, that's awesome.
You sent me a video of that.
Yeah, yeah, I'll show it to you.
Oh,
her name's Carrie Faye, and, yeah, she's worth checking out, but, continue about ToyBot. Do you have anything else to say about them?
They have a great stage presence. Eddie's a real nice guy. We met him in the parking lot before the show while we were all standing out in the rain.
And
was he the dude that looked like he was in a ska band?
He was the dude that looked like he was wearing the Real Big Fish 241 jersey. They just had a great stage presence about them.
They have really good energy. Great.
Really good energy, exactly. We're still recording. Don't worry. I really enjoyed them. I can't wait to see them. We have them again in February, but I'm sure hopefully we'll be able to check them out again before that.
And actually, they are playing with Green Jello August 18th at Mohawk Place.
Well, we'll be there anyway. So
there you go.
They were on that. That's awesome.
I didn't know either.
I believe Wyatt Coyne is on that too. Yeah. And Lazy Ass Destroyer from Cincinnati. I don't know if you guys are familiar with him.
It was the naked guy.
Oh my god!
Excellent.
Okay, she remembers now. XM Priory and Buried Beneath Concrete also on that show.
Oh great, yeah. So check that out. So we're gonna play some Toy Box Brigade for you. I don't know what song yet to write up an intro, but you'll figure it out. Just listen to the lyrics. That was Toy Box Brigade here on the Struggle is Real Buffalo Music Podcast on allwny.com. And I feel like I'm doing too many station IDs in this episode, but that's not going to stop me. So this next segment we're going to air, one of the first things I did when I knew I was going to need a bunch of pre-recorded segments is I reached out to my buddy Joe Iannello, who is in The Lady or the Tiger. He was also the guest of episode 8 on the podcast. So if you want to listen to that, he's a really entertaining guy. And he has a blog. And I said, let's come up with some funny ideas. He's a funny guy. And the first thing he gave me was this this blog post about how much he hates jazz. And I went to music school. And Karina, you did too,
yes,
right?
Yes, I did.
So I don't know about you, but like, I don't like classic rock very much because my parents made me listen to classic rock.
Right.
I get just drilled into your head. That's how I feel about jazz music and going to a music school.
Yeah, I hear you.
Like I went in and I'm like, yeah, jazz, whatever. I left that school and I'm like, fuck jazz. I'll play classical string bass and rock for the rest of my life, but I can't. So
I played saxophone and I totally preferred symphonic over jazz.
Oh, absolutely. Way better. So, yeah, so screw jazz. There's way more, there's better forms of music to listen to. So, check out this this segment I recorded. I also want to note that the music in the background that we used for that is a song called Apple Cash, and it's done by a buddy of mine named Jackson Shelton, and it was actually a project for a class I did my sophomore year of college. So I think I actually recorded this the backing music back in, like, 2002 with, like, an ADAT. So it's fucking ancient, but it's still a great track. And he's making music for national commercials now. So he's doing a great job, but I just wanted to give him a shout out there. So, here's I Hate Jazz on Struggle is Real Buffalo Music Podcast on allwny.com. Hey folks, this is Ryan Gurnett from the Struggle is Real Buffalo Music Podcast. I'm here with a special message today. Jazz is the worst kind of music. Now, whoa, whoa, whoa. I can hear everyone getting offended at once, which is easily my favorite sound, but that doesn't change the fact that jazz sucks, and I'm becoming increasingly certain that everyone secretly hates it. And yes, this includes you, you fedora-wearing bullshit artist. Why is every jazz ensemble fronted by a 900-year-old skeleton man with a name like Slybones McMurphy? I swear, it's the same guy in every band, just wandering from gig to gig for all eternity. I guess no one's got the heart to tell him he actually died 6 years ago and the funeral director would like him to lie down now. And who the hell thought it was a good idea to front a band with a flute being the lead instrument? I don't think that's what our forefathers would have wanted, and it underscores the fact that we've lost our way as a society. Now, maybe I'm being a little harsh here. It's just that I'm getting really sick of having to pretend that I get jazz, or risk being branded a mouth breather by the local hipster community. They say jazz is the thinking man's music. Why the hell should I have to think about music in order to enjoy it? Isn't it the artist's job to make me like their songs? The Ramones never asked me to meet them halfway. Come to think of it, the Ramones never asked me for anything. So I say props to them for handling their business. They should be an example to all of us. When I hear jazz, I find myself wondering, isn't there supposed to be melody in here somewhere? That strikes me as the last thought I should have when I'm listening to music, but jazz continues to be impenetrable to me. Similarly, I usually get the distinct impression that the drummer is playing a completely different song than the rest of the band, and that's just inconsiderate to everyone involved. I don't want to beat a dead horse, but have you ever tried to buy a jazz CD? It's not easy. They keep it in the nobody gives a fuck section of your local music store. You have to look really hard too, since this department won't be clearly labeled because nobody gives a fuck. When you do find them, it's 3 or 4 cracked CD cases covered in 15 years worth of dust and the fingerprints of people I assume died decades ago. You can rant on about how jazz is the superior form of music until you're blue in the face, but nothing you say is going to change the undeniable fact that this same store has a fresh shipment of Hall & Oates music coming in every week. So what the hell does that tell you? If you don't like jazz, then stand up and be counted. And if you do like jazz, then listen to this again and stop being a fucking liar. And we're back. That is how much I hate jazz, folks.
Man, you really hate jazz.
Oh, I don't like it at all. So, Karina, who is your favorite band from Warped Tour?
You know, this was my first time seeing them. I loved Of Night and Light.
Oh, they were great.
And they kicked it off on the corner stage. And from what I understand, they kicked off Warped Tour. Like, that was, I think,
first.
I think that was, like, the opening of Warped Tour. And, like, that started. Wasn't it?
I was talking to Cam the other night from Of Night and Light, and he was telling me that people were giving him an excuse why they didn't come see the local bands because they couldn't find the stage. If you couldn't find the local stage, you were in the wrong fucking venue.
No, right. I think you don't have eyes. Did you go to Warped Tour with your eyes open?
You literally had to walk right by the corner stage and the WNY booth.
Yeah, to get to the
rest of the show. So
yeah,
I love Cam's screaming backing vocals.
Oh my
because
gosh,
he barely opens his mouth. Like it's really I've never seen anyone like I'm not super into like hardcore a lot of screamy stuff, but like you know I do like punk. I've never seen someone who does it quite like that, and that's something I'm having him on the podcast.
You know,
too.
I didn't see his face when he was singing, but next time I see him that. Which will probably be this weekend, I will be paying attention to how wide he opens his
maybe
mouth.
Maybe it's just me, but I hear the vocals and I'm looking, I'm like, who's singing? I see this guy with his mouth a little open, but so, but Cam hung out. He's a great guy. I plan on having him back on the podcast. Yeah. All those guys were
he's
really
a great
awesome.
Guy and he's a great supporter of the scene. Like if he has a free night and there's a show, he is going to a show just to support his buddies and to support the scene. And, you know, the scene just, that's what we need. We need to support each other. We need to support ourselves. And
he also runs, is it WNYMusicScene.com?
I don't know.
All right, hold on. That's why we have computers.
You're looking for WNY, for WNY's music scene, the old Throughout Your Radios. He's a part of that, yeah.
Okay, yeah, yeah. So he's a part of that. I wanted to toss out the URL, but I can't remember what it is. It is. It's WNYMusicScene.com.
Okay.
So he and Dewey Rich Barr from Green Jello and Wyatt Coyne, and I know they have some other volunteers and people, but they run that website too. So I just wanted to give that a shout out because it's a great resource for local bands or local music fans.
Very cool.
Do you have anything else you want to say about
WNY? I don't think that we see enough of the type of music that Of Night and Light brings. It's like kind of has a post-hardcore feel, but it's like influenced by, I don't know. It's just such a broad spectrum of musicality that, you know, we need more music like that. We need more people who know what they're doing and know how to portray themselves on stage and
absolutely
support the community, you know? And, so thank you guys. You started the day in an awesome way and, I can't wait to see you again.
Awesome. Well, I again don't have a specific song queued up for Of Night and Light, but as we're running short on segments and such, I'm going to find the longest one I have, and that is the one you'll be listening to next here on the Struggle Is Real Buffalo Music Podcast as my phone beeps on allwny.com.
That's waiting
We are back here on the Struggle is Real Buffalo Music podcast on all WNY. Yeah. I don't know where I am. It's Warped Tour. It's infringement. I'm tired. This isn't even my house.
I was saying, you're in the Think So Joe Show studio.
I'm not in my own house. I'm not with my co-hosts. I don't know. So the next thing we're going to run is things you might not know about Warped Tour. Why don't you tell us, Joe, kind of what went into making it? And kind of what are your favorite parts about? Just talk about it.
Well, I've been doing things you might not know on YouTube. I haven't done it the last couple of weeks just out of busy and sheer lazy. And you know.
Do you have a URL you can share with people?
Well, if you go to thinksojoe.com, the URL usually goes up there, there for each video, and also on my Twitter and my Facebook page at official. The at thinksojoe on Twitter, official thinksojoe on Facebook. If you go there, you can find the URLs to this. And I really learned a lot about Warped Tour, learned a lot about, Kevin Lyman while I was doing research, which was awesome because when we got to interview Kevin Lyman, even though it didn't, save, I already knew what to ask him because it was like, oh, hey, I know all this stuff about you now. Like, I was mentally prepared for that. I wasn't, I don't know if I was, really prepared for like
prepared for him to be in front of you, but you
were we were on stage with Kaiser Solze, and I got off stage, I was talking to somebody, and the next thing I know, Kaiser's coming up to me like, hey man, Kevin's at your table. Kevin? Like, okay.
my interesting story about from Kevin when we got to interview Kevin was so they call all the local people up on the corner stage, and the three of us are all hanging out up there. And I'm like, I'm little, so like all everyone's like, you go in the front, and I'm like, yeah, that's fine. So I'm standing like right next to Kaiser as he's performing, which was super cool. And then he plays his one song, and then we raffled off the backdrop afterwards.
Right.
And which was done by who?
Lisa Nudo.
Okay, wanted to give her another shout out.
Oh yeah, great artist. Great that backdrop looked incredible.
It was really cool. So he plays the song, and then we're going to do the raffle. And Kaiser just hands me, he doesn't even really hand me the guitar. He just takes the guitar by the neck and extends it outwards in my direction. And I'm looking around and I'm like, I don't see a stagehand here. And I'm like, I guess I'm taking it. I would like to be like, I think a goal for my life is to be, have a reputation that's so good that if I'm on stage and I just fucking hold out a guitar, someone will take it. Like, I can do that. I can do that with confidence. Like, I'm doing this, someone's grabbing it, I know it. So I'm sitting here with a guitar, and I'm like, did Kaiser just give me a free guitar? He ended up leaving it under our tent later, and I'm like...
He did, yeah. It was there when we were tearing down.
I'm like, now I'm... Like, at first I was joking, but now I really need to know if he's giving me this. And a few of us were lingering on stage, and then all of a sudden I hear... Is one of you two, I hear Kevin Lyman, and I'm like, oh my God, and I have this guitar in my hand, and I'm like... I just turn and Greg Burt's there, and I just literally just like push it onto his chest. And I'm like, Greg Burt, take this. I have things to do. And I'll tell you, I kind of laid back in the Kevin Lyman interview because I didn't know anything about him going in aside from the little like from listening to your thing, what I knew from there. So having you like doing the research was super helpful.
And there was things that didn't make the things you might not know that you're about to hear. There were things that didn't make that I just kind of retained from doing the research and was like, okay, you know, so you've often said that, you know, you don't know if there's going to be another Warped Tour until the one you're on is over. What made you decide to cancel this, to make this the last one? And, we found out. Since the interview's not going to air, I guess we'll tell it ourselves.
Yeah,
he's got a professorship in California that he's starting, and he's no longer going to be doing Warped Tour. I guess mostly because of that. So
yeah,
good for him. And Karina was saying on the way home that she'd like to go back to school just to study under him.
Oh my gosh!
Like, and who wouldn't?
Oh, absolutely.
Great people, but Kevin Lyman.
Kevin Lyman, as you'll find out in this upcoming segment, is just a brilliant man and a brilliant marketer, and just like if you're gonna learn how to do a tour from anybody, Kevin Lyman's the guy to follow.
Oh my gosh!
Because of some of these innovations that you're gonna hear about in this upcoming segment.
I kind of had a couple hard hitting questions for him sitting in the back, but that did not seem like the time. Like it's like, hey, Kevin Lyman, the guy who created Warped Tour wants to talk to you for 5 minutes, and it's like. Okay, I'm gonna ask him some questions. But I think I kind of have to kiss. Like, I didn't want to make him angry.
I feel bad for Kaiser Solze because he's just sitting there with my arm in his face the whole time with the microphone held up to Kevin Lyman.
I remember he's like, "Do you want to interview us together or separately?" And it's like, "Whatever you want." And then we did it together, And I don't think Kaiser said like three words
And Kevin Lyman really put over Kaiser Solze, saying, you know, he's really turned things around for himself and is really starting to learn and become a better person and stuff like that. So yeah, I mean, that's awesome. So
I'm hoping maybe we'll see Kaiser branch off and maybe do something of his own at some point.
I would hope so.
If not, I'm telling you, I think all WNY needs to put on some sort of punk festival.
I absolutely agree.
And I will. Scott Leffler, if you're listening, I'm all over that. Now, Scott Leffler doesn't listen. I know that.
Well, I mean, you and I are pretty much in charge of putting on shows for all WNY, yeah. So we can make that
Joe
happen.
Joe Kent, we're doing it.
We are.
I bet Greg Bird will help.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Yeah, I'll be there.
We'll do it at Stamps, do an all-day thing.
It's going to be fucking awesome. Yeah,
they'll love it.
We'll figure it out.
We'll love it. Everybody will love it.
So, yeah, here is Joe's segment on what you might not know about the Warped Tour here on the Struggle is Real Buffalo Music Podcast on allwny.com.
I'm Think So Joe, this is Things You Might Not Know, and today we're going to talk about Vans Warped Tour. For many of my teenage years, I spent one day every summer out in the blistering sun at a place in Buffalo called LaSalle Park, watching all of my favorite punk bands performing at an event called the Vans Warped Tour. The summer punk rock staple is currently embarking on its final run as a full-fledged cross-country tour, and believe me when I tell you, it leaves a gaping hole in my heart to see an annual event that I loved so deeply when I was younger vanish into the ether. But let's be honest, the Warped Tour that I knew as a teen has been gone for quite a while anyway. Back in the 90s, Warped featured not just amazing bands playing all day, but also extreme sports such as skateboarding and BMX biking. I even once saw Steve Caballero, who you might know from Tony Hawk's Pro Skater 2, play guitar with MXPX one year. Now, Warped Tour in 1995 did not have the Vans sponsorship, and in fact was almost not called Warped Tour at all. The original name for the tour was going to be The Bomb, which was popular slang for cool back in those days. However, the day Warped founder Kevin Lyman was going to announce the tour, the Oklahoma City bombing took place. After deciding that The Bomb would be disrespectful to the victims of that tragic event, he took the name of Warped Magazine, whom he had worked for previously, and gave the tour its famous name. In 1996, Vans became the main sponsor of the tour. In truth, Lyman needed a sponsor to keep the tour going. The 1995 tour made no money, and promoters refused to pay for another edition of the event for that very reason. In a bit of fortuitous weather, a blizzard postponed a meeting between Lyman and Calvin Klein. Yes, fashion icon Calvin Klein, not to be confused with the alter ego of Marty McFly in 1955. While the CK representatives were stuck on an airport runway for 24 hours due to the inclement weather, Vans called Lyman. And given Vans' popularity among the skate crowd, I think it's safe to say they're a more appropriate sponsor than Calvin Klein ever would have been. A unique aspect of Warped Tour has always been that the bands do not play at the same times in each city. Lyman previously worked as a tour manager for Lollapalooza and noticed that fans would know the schedule in advance and only show up when the main bands would take the stage. With the schedule changing at every stop, 90% of Warped Tour fans show up as soon as the gates open. Warped Tour doesn't only feature national acts. The Ernie Ball stage has traditionally served as a place for local bands to showcase their talents in a battle of the bands. Also, another Warped tradition is what's called the barbecue band. The barbecue band gets to perform on the tour on the condition that they prepare the post-show barbecue for the other bands and crew. The barbecue goes through 300 hot dogs, 300 hamburgers, and 100 veggie burgers on a typical tour date. Some facts about Warped alumni include the following. The 1995 Warped Tour had a rule disallowing dogs and friends. Sublime broke both rules and were temporarily removed from the tour. During a 2000 Warped Tour performance by Green Day, their security guy blew off his fingers in a pyrotechnics accident. Fireworks have been banned from the tour ever since. During their 1997 summer on the tour, Sugar Ray performed on the Volcom stage, which was usually 2 feet high and stacked on picnic tables. They were selling 70,000 albums a week at that point. The Buzzcocks refused to perform until they got a bottle of champagne. Lyman states that they are the only band to demand something from the tour and stated to Diffuser.fm that they got it because you gotta respect your punk rock elders. Artists such as Eminem, the Black Eyed Peas, Beck, and Katy Perry have all performed on Warped. Perry, in particular, recognizes the tour as her big break.
Eminem's group, D12, and fellow Detroit rapper Esham were kicked off the 2001 tour after D12 allegedly attacked Esham for mentioning Eminem's daughter in a song. Eminem himself was not involved in the incident. The traditionally punk rock Warped Tour paired up with the heavy metal-minded Ozzfest in 1998 for a single date in Somerset, Wisconsin. 39,000 fans showed up for the show. Warped representatives included Rancid and Bad Religion, while the Ozzfest contingent featured bands such as Tool, Limp Bizkit, and of course, Ozzy Osbourne himself. In recent years, the tour has featured a reverse daycare. Parents attending with their kids can attend for free with their kids' paid ticket. There is a special tent for said parents that has air conditioning and cold drinks. It's another brilliant move by Lyman in the same vein of the aforementioned per-city scheduling, as it allows kids who normally wouldn't be able to go to the show because their parents didn't want to drive back and forth to the venue twice to bring their parents to the show. Finally, Warped Tour is an extremely charitable event. In 2013, the Feed the Children Now tent collected 330,000 pounds of food throughout the duration of the tour. Warped Tour blood drives have been named the Red Cross's Independent Blood Drive of the Year several times. 25 cents of each ticket purchased goes to a local charity as well. If you found these facts interesting, please check out the original video on the Things You Might Not Know channel on YouTube.
Things You Might Not Know.
Yes. You can tell when I'm running out of steam. That was Things You Might Not Know About Warped Tour, written, recorded, produced by Mr. Joe Kent.
Yes.
Here, special for the Struggles Real Buffalo Music Podcast and all of my doc.
It was re-recorded for the podcast, too. That's not the direct audio from the YouTube. So
it makes me feel special. It does. So there's one other artist I wanted to play, someone we talked to, someone I'd like to promote who's coming back to town. That's Kosha Dills.
Oh, my God. He was incredible.
Oh, my goodness. I've always been in awe of the performer who just, like, can, like, hook up a phone and just kind of play along with it. And that's just his thing. Whether it's hip hop or someone like more like Adam and His Package or even MC Lars he's kind of in the middle there.
Well, it's funny you mentioned MC Lars because Kosha Dills did have a live drummer with him who is JTL Baby, who is also the drummer for MC Lars. And if you own Lars's album, This Gigantic Robot Kills, there's a song about him on there and his messy house in New Jersey. as soon as I heard the name, I'm looking at you guys. I'm like, what did he just say his drummer's name was? You guys are like, I don't know.
Yeah.
And like, I went up to Kosha Dills. I'm like, hey, what did you just say your drummer's name was? He says, oh, it's JTL Baby. I turn around. I look at JTL Baby. I said, dude, we're Facebook friends. And he's like, what's your name? And then he knew exactly who I was. So
awesome.
And told me MC Lars listens to my show. So
does that mean he might listen to this episode?
Maybe I'll plug this on my show on Wednesday.
Ooh,
this week.
I like it. Yeah. Well, hopefully it'll be up in time. Dear MC Lars, come and hang out in Buffalo. I haven't seen you.
I've only seen him once and I've missed him every time since. In fact, funny story about MC Lars. I know we're talking about Kosha Dills right now and we'll get back to him in a second.
Yeah,
but funny story about MC Lars is, the show that used to be in the time slot of my show, I used to be a co-host of, and one night we were doing an episode, and I went to work right after, as I used to do all the time, and MC Lars had tweeted, "Ah, man, you know, this tour was great, you know, I'm going to see Europe soon, and then I'm going to come back to the States and start another tour. Thank everybody that came out to this tour." And I said, man, you know, you really need to start this next tour in Buffalo. You haven't been here in forever. And he tweets me back and he says, dude, I literally just left Buffalo. I just played Town Ballroom.
Wow.
Like, so that same night he had played Town Ballroom. And I'm like, you've got to be kidding me. And I have missed him every time he's been back. He eventually came onto that other show. He did a freestyle rap for us to promote Warped Tour because he was on it that year. But yeah, so that was crazy. But yeah, Kosha Dills was a last minute addition to the WNY corner stage.
The end of the schedule was in flux for most of the day. I think once it hit 5 o'clock, we're like, music's gonna happen, something.
Yeah, we were told many different things about the last couple of slots on the thing, and like we were told Wyatt Coyne and Kaiser Solze were gonna be taking over the last couple of slots on that stage.
There was something called Soapbox Set that was supposed to be, I think, musicians from other bands. I think.
Something like that.
But
as it turned out, Wyatt Coyne and Kaiser Solze and also Lucky 33, who were advertised for our stage, all ended up on the Full Sail stage. Great for them.
Yeah. Yes.
And we ended up with Digital Afterlife was added on.
Yeah.
And also Kosha Dills.
Digital Afterlife with friend of the podcast Greg Burt.
Yes.
And yeah, Kosha Dills. If you haven't heard him, he's a rapper. I think that's pretty.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's catchy, it's hooky, it's sing-alongy. Crowd to dance.
Yeah.
And it's positive. And like, I know some people don't need their hip hop to be positive, but I like it having some sort of message one way or the other.
And you know, it made us laugh. He didn't take himself too seriously. He enjoyed what he was doing. And he walked right up to our booth before his set
and like, hey, what's up guys? I'm Kosha Dills. You know, like
he was so friendly,
introduced
so
himself, did a quick interview with us, and which of course now is lost to the ethers. Yeah, he lost to the ether. But he did it. He was incredibly nice. He was incredibly friendly, and he killed it on stage.
He did.
Yeah. So I got a Kosha Dills hat. So
nice.
I wanted to take an opportunity. He was nice enough to come on and talk to us. And
sure.
He gave me two free CDs. So we traded some merch too. So I have a hat too. So I guess I actually still have to talk to him to clear the song, but I'm sure he's going to be cool with it. So hopefully there'll be a Kosha Dills song here or not. Here on the Struggle Is Real Buffalo Music Podcast on LW1YDAC.
Don't be so hard on yourself, better yet be harder. Hustling my whole life, stupid, I gotta be smarter. Went from pushing the stuff to sniff, now it's Spotify. Things are looking up in my life, you haters gotta die. Money grows, so does the ego. Hire more people, pay more people. Get a new key, new house, and not the same keyhole. Nothing rhymes with orange, but I'll eat the Cheetos. Well, figure out lyrics, go along with the net worth. Business now is better, don't gotta be friends first. Politically correct, you could eat a dick, not for the radio, these bars are hella sick, life is good, t-shirt, yeah, then I send a text, hashtag gratitude, attitude is hella blessed, cut the bullshit, man, it's time to cut a check, Kosha, 18, looking for deals at 36, bruh. Lot of haters try to bring me down, it's a long road, I tell them I will see them around, front desk in my head at the lost and found, going back and forth. Secretary said he just stepped down, made a couple bucks, and you wanna see me now. I'll tell you my availability when I'm in town. Going back and forth and back and forth and you get 10 to 15% of me for festivals, not festally. But where the hell are you actually sending me? You failed at your career. I won't let that get the best of me. And anyways, if I sold more tickets, you'd have more respect for me. I guess I appreciate you representing me. And if we have to meet for lunch, okay, sure, and I'll buy. If you don't like this business, that's the good side. The worst is yet to come. It'll get worse, then you'll die. At the end of the day, do nothing else except hustle, lift weights, and rap, and travel round the map. I ain't got platinum album sales. I sent over 3 million unanswered emails, and sometimes they get back to you with false details, circling back fake contracts like what can you sell. You sad and alone with no family. I'm on stage and don't talk for free unless it's freedom, motherfucker. A lot of haters try to bring me down, it's a long road, I tell them I will see them around, front desk in my head at the lost and found, going back and forth. Secretary said you just stepped down, made a couple bucks, and you wanna see me now. I'll tell you my availability when I'm in town. Going back and forth and back and forth and this thing could go many ways, like Rick Ross hustling every day. They're all stealing, make you wait, but I'm still doing it anyway. In my head at the lost and found, going back and forth and back and forth and your secretary said you just stepped out, made a couple bucks, and you wanna see me now. I'll tell you my availability when I'm in town. Going back and forth and back and forth and this thing could go many ways, like Rick Ross hustling every day. They're all stealing, make you wait, but I'm still doing it anyway. I love it. I love it. I love it.
All right, that hopefully was Kosha Dills, or you're hearing this immediately after just like a little station ID.
I'm sure by the time this airs, he'll have talked to you and he'll have cleared it because he just seemed like that kind of guy.
I think he will. I hope so. Anyway, so this is going to be the last segment we play. There has been some in-joking within podcast staff about my crush on Humble Braggers singer Tom Burtless. I reviewed them for the first time, a couple months ago. They played with Dream Beaches and Basic Printer at Mohawk Place. And I gushed about all the bands there, and they were all fantastic. But have you guys ever seen Humble Braggers?
No.
And they've got kind of like a modern, new wavy, kind of dancey, almost like 80s-ish kind of sound. And it's really cool. To me, Tom is just like the perfect lead singer. Like, his voice sounds great. He looks the part, like the way he dresses, his hair, just like everything about him just oozes frontman. And as I'm telling everyone else this, they're like, oh, he got a bit of a crush, too. So we're kind of joking about it back, like, behind the scenes. And then we actually had him on the show and interviewed him. And at one point, we were talking about music, and he was talking about the band U2. And he said, I love U2. And Dennis was there, and he could see me, like, freezing. And, like, I was just kind of staring at him, smiling, because my immediate thought was, I'm going to take this sound clip and do something with it. And I'm going to have so much fun. So for this, I put together a fake interview, and our intern slash video coordinator, Nate, was nice enough to chop up all the files for me. Unfortunately, I was talking when he said, I love you too, so the sound file is just ruined for that. But I still had all this stuff. There were really some cool clips that Nate took out, and so we made this cool Tom Burtless soundboard interview.
I actually put this segment together for you, and it's hilarious.
Yeah. Oh, I wish I, dude, if I would have had more time, we'd be rolling on the floor even more. So we're going to play the soundboard segment, and then we'll play some Humble Braggers, and then we're just going to be back to finish up the episode then, here on the Struggle is Real Buffalo Music Podcast on allwny.com.
Hi, folks. This is Ryan Garnett from the Struggle is Real Buffalo Music Podcast. Today we are here with Tom Burtless from Humble Braggers. Thanks, Tom, for agreeing to this exclusive one-on-one interview with me. Sorry we had to meet in this back alley. Dennis gets jealous if I do interviews without him. Nate did some Band on the Street interviews a few episodes ago, and no one has seen him since. Is that okay?
And so I was like, all right, well, let's kind of give this a try.
Awesome. Now, I bet you get a lot of lady fans, Tom.
We have a very mixed bag fan base.
You're a very good-looking man, Tom. I bet you and the rest of the band do pretty well for yourselves.
We do okay.
Speaking of the ladies, tell me which one of these people you'd sleep with. Scarlett Johansson, Whoopi Goldberg, and the corpse of Estelle Getty.
All of them except for the first one.
You're into Whoopi Goldberg?
Always.
All right, maybe we should change the subject here. Hey, Tama. What do you think of my face? Can I get women with this face?
It's nice.
Aw, thanks. Check this cool thing I can do out with my tongue.
It's a cool thing for sure.
Can you do it? Okay, I'm sorry, Tom. I'm making you uncomfortable again.
Yes.
Okay, let's shift topics. You must have made a lot of friends on the Buffalo music scene.
I have one friend.
I'm sorry, Tom. I'll be your friend. How's that?
That's fine.
You know, you could sound more enthusiastic about it.
It's nice.
Those aren't the magic words I've always wanted to hear from you, but, I'll take it.
Yes. It's nice.
It is nice. I'm really glad we're friends. Tom, it isn't unusual for friends to, is it odd for guys to give each other fitness tips?
There's definitely, a lot of more people are open to it.
Perfect. I've been told my arms are scrawny. Can you feel my muscles?
You know,
just between friends.
That's fine.
They're pretty tight, right?
Yeah, they felt great.
Well, thanks for taking a feel, bud. Do you want to make some plans for tonight?
Yes.
What do you want to do? Movies, mini golf, a trip to the carnival?
Me, in a bedroom, doing everything.
Okay, back to you in the studio. It looks like I've got my hands full.
You know, the rest is history.
All right, that was our Tom Burtless interview. That was the Humble Braggers here on the Struggle is Real Buffalo Music Podcast on allwny.com. Episode's been kind of mismatched and not greatly planned, just because Warped Tour was what, like 5 days ago.
Five or six days ago.
So I thought we were just gonna, I was just gonna take like four or five clips from it and throw it together, but you know, someone didn't check the box. I told Joe when Joe sent me that, the first message I sent him was, I told him, that's fine, we can keep working together. But I get to make fun of you for this for as long as I know you. So I'm going to be carrying that on.
And I responded, I'm going to be making fun of myself for it, so don't even sweat it. Like, I am perfectly fine with anybody making fun of me for this, because the funny thing is, like, I posted on Facebook, I said, I just interviewed Kevin Lyman, and one of my co-hosts on my other podcast, Bored Wrestling Fan, commented, how did you screw it up? I said, dude, I didn't. I actually knew stuff about the guy, so the interview went well, and then it's like, I looked the next morning, I'm like, oh, that's how I screwed it up.
Honestly, like, the day went, like, it really, I mean, we waited out in the rain for like an hour, 45 minutes.
Sure.
And if you folks think, I run Infringement Fest, I'm being a big part of it.
Right.
And if you, like, that's chaos. It is utter fucking chaos. And it's because it's volunteers, because it's a lot of bands, a lot of stuff going on. And Warped takes a lot of that and squishes it into one day. And I went in thinking, like, this is going to be regimented. Like, they've got this shit down. Like, if they say get there at 8, I'm going to get there at 8. Like, I'm not. And then you get there at 8 and you wait around for an hour and a half. And it's like, I could have slept in, couldn't I?
This can come out now because before Warped Tour, you were the only person I told about this. We emailed Warped Tour Press to find out about Wi-Fi because we were not getting an answer from Darien Lake. We weren't getting a clear answer from Kaiser. We sent an email to Warped Tour Press, and
which I suggested, by the way.
Okay, and blame me for that too. Anyway, they emailed us back. They said, "Who gave you authorization to have a booth, or do you have a vendor license with Warped Tour?" Nobody gave you authorization to broadcast because there's fines of up to $10,000 for broadcasting live for broadcasting from Darien Lake.
So it's a good thing we're talking about it.
It's a good thing. Well, prove it. Anyway,
we broadcast, or did we?
Yeah, you can't. There's no proof. Anyway, we just, as far as anybody knows, we emceed the local stage.
Yeah, exactly.
Anyway, they said, but origination fees, very strict. Policy on that. And then the next thing I know, we've got Kevin Lyman sitting at our table.
Yeah.
Like, okay, if this guy's sitting at our table while we're doing this,
we're definitely allowed to be here now.
We are allowed to do this. Like, this is cool. Like, somebody had their information wrong. I mean, I'm sure there probably is some kind of strict origination fees and all that.
What if Kevin Lyman is the one that had his information wrong, and he really should not have been at our booth at all?
How about this? What if Kevin Lyman was the one who unchecked the box?
Oh, shit.
We're going to have to start a whole, like, mystery podcast now to figure out who did it.
We're going to have a conspiracy theory.
I now believe that Joe Kent didn't uncheck the box because he had no reason to.
Yeah,
this all y'all is a sabotage, as the Beastie Boys might say.
But yeah, so we did it, and I figured you and I had figured, like, Warped Tour's not responsible now because they told us we can't do it. We're not personally responsible because we work for All WNY, which is an LLC, which means Scott's not personally responsible either. So it was like, who cares?
Yeah.
What is the worst that's going to happen if we do this?
I think as soon as you told me that I'm not responsible, I'm like, yeah, sure, we'll just do whatever.
I wanted to let you know, and I didn't tell Scott, I didn't tell Karina, I didn't tell anybody. I was just like, dude, this is between me and you. this is the email I got from Warped Tour. Like,
you sent me that, and I'm like, oh, shit. And then, like, I think the next message I sent you was like, if they send anything else, tell them you had the wrong date. And
yeah,
just,
right.
Like, just disappear. Like,
right.
Oops, wrong email. Sorry, that was supposed to go to Lilith Fair. Like,
yeah, right.
But what I was saying is, like, Warped Tour is even. I felt like it was even more chaotic than working in infringement.
Oh, sure.
And that's chaotic. So, you know, you go into this thinking that it's all these people who have their shit together, and they certainly do. But there's a lot of chaos going on. It's a lot of people doing stuff for the first time. So.
It's a lot of their first time at the venue.
Exactly.
You know, the map for the festival is going to change from date to date. There's just a lot of up in the air things that have to be settled on the fly. Yeah.
And as we heard earlier on the on my segment, there's no set schedule for the bands either until they get to the venue. So,
it was a lot of chaos, but you know, it all came together. And again, thanks to Kaiser and Dewey and Kevin Lyman,
of course.
And thanks to all the bands. All the bands were awesome. I think there were one or two we didn't get a chance to interview, but like, they were all great. They'd just come by and chat. They were, you know, all the merch was cool. It was a fucking party of local music. And I didn't get to see any of the Warped Tour bands because I was a frantic mess. As soon as the bands got off, it's like, okay, I have to pee, I gotta run out to the car, and I gotta get a drink. Okay, go. But even just going to the last Warped Tour and just hanging out with you guys and just being around that local stage, like, that was worth it. Like, it was amazing. It was so much fun. So I do want to thank you guys too, and Nate and Will behind the scenes. They did a great job.
Sure.
Some housekeeping is our next episode. We will be a little more reorganized. There are going to be some changes to the podcast that we'll be discussing, but me, Will, and Nate are going to talk about, we're going to kind of give a little bit of a wrap up for Warped Tour. We're going to talk about Infringement Festival. I think we might go sans guest for that episode, just because I got a lot of shit I want to talk about.
Sure.
So you keep an eye out for that. That'll be August 15th-ish. And you can check us out at allwny.com or buffalomusicpodcast.com. You can check out the Think So Joe podcast.
That's Wednesday, 6 p.m. live on allwny.com. You can download it afterwards on 716bands.com or on allwny once Scott gets it up there. We're also on iTunes, Google Play Music. If I wanted to spend the money, we could probably be on Spotify too, but I don't want to spend the money. So
I think we are on Spotify.
Are we?
Okay. I talked Scott into it. I think it's
okay then.
I know Felix for the Struggle is Real podcast. There's actually like it's a page for all the LWNY stuff.
Oh, cool.
So you might want to double check that. I think we're on there.
All right.
And I always make a point of screwing up your name in every episode because you did it once on your podcast, and I don't have it prepared, but I actually have created a file of fake names that I have in store for you. Let's see. Here we go. Awful names. This actually originated from a Dungeons and Dragons file, so that tells you a bit about me. Mm-hmm. All right, so check out the Think So Joe podcast hosted by Karina DeFabio and Yanni Van Halen on LWNY.com. You can also check out the Nick and Dan show, which I haven't checked out myself. I've heard it's really cool. I know, Joe, you're on there.
I need to check out the beginning of this week's episode and see what I do this week on their podcast, their video YouTube channel. It's on the XM Priory YouTube channel on Tuesdays. And it goes up on LWNY on Thursdays.
Exactly. And then we have Corey Comments. We have Scott Leffler's Here's the Thing. We have and we have Michael Sargent. If you are interested in photography and right-wing conspiracy theories, Michael Sargent's The Big Picture is the podcast for you. I think it's called The Big Picture, right?
It could be.
Yeah, sure. Why not?
We'll go with that.
That's what my conspiracy theory is. That is what it is called. So you can check us out at facebook.com/thestruggleisrealpodcast. We're also on Twitter at SIRpodcastNY. And a big important part of the housekeeping is we're doing more stuff now. We're planning on booking shows. I want to do more live events. We're going to need more people. Mm-hmm. So if podcasting interests you, get a hold of me. I don't care about level of experience. All I care is that you're not a dick and you're reliable. And when someone says they'll do something, they'll do it. And if you can do those two things and you're interested in music, we'd be happy to have you a part of all the stuff that we're cool stuff we're doing on the podcast. So you can do that. And God, I think that's it. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, thank you, Joe, for letting me record here. And thanks, guys,
sure. Thank you.
Doing this. And I had a fun time. And we'll certainly be intermingling with some other projects in the future.
Absolutely.
So,
hey, you guys, Ryan. Thanks for getting me into Warped Tour, man.
Aw.
Yeah, we couldn't have done that without you, man. Like, you got us in and, yeah, you couldn't have broadcasted without me, but I couldn't have broadcasted without you getting us there in the first place. Man,
you know, so. I always tell people, and I've reiterated this, I think, on like the last five episodes of the podcast. Just ask. Like, that's,
right.
You know, I'm going to be running the music for infringement because I asked. I started getting backstage, passes for shows, for reviews, just because I asked.
Mm-hmm.
I just said, I'm a reviewer for this site. Can you let me in? And they do. And with this stuff, you know, as long as you don't have really thin skin, as long as you can take people saying no to you,
sure.
That's cool. But I mean, that's all. It's the worst that's going to happen is someone's just going to say no.
Yeah.
That's it. And then you move on. So I just kept asking people about Warped Tour until someone said yes. And then, you know, it all came together. But yeah, no, when we figured this out, we weren't originally planning on you, Karina, to be honest. And and I invited Joe. And then I kept seeing like you saying, oh, yeah, maybe you've heard of the broadcast. And then you started getting sponsors. And I'm like, okay, she's a part of the group now. But no, like you guys were the first people I thought of to do something like this because I know you do a great job with all your other stuff. So, no, we had a great time. And there's mm-hmm. So much cool stuff's going to happen. So stay tuned, and thank you for listening. And this has been the Struggle is Real Buffalo Music Podcast on allwny.com.